legal perspectives.
Good afternoon and welcome to Legal Perspectives on the Big Talker 1210 and the BigTalker1210.com. I am RJ McKay. Appreciate you joining us. And joining us this afternoon is attorney Mike Ferrara. Mike, good to see you again.
Yeah, hi, RJ. Happy to be here.
That's great. We got an hour open. The phone lines, here they are. We'll kick them right off from Philadelphia, 215-839-1210. From the suburbs, 610-664-1210. From South Jersey, 856-541-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, push pound 1210. For most legal questions, if you have, give us a call. You're really good about, if you can't answer them, You know how to direct people and where they should go on that. So we really encourage anyone to give us a call about legal questions.
Yeah, we like to call it the subtitle of the show. We like to call it as the People's Law School. So if you're driving around out there and you have a legal question, give us a shot. And if we can help you and answer it, we will. If we don't know the answer, we'll certainly tell you where to go to try to get it.
That's great. And the thing that you and I have talked, and you've been doing this for about a year or
about
so?
A year, yeah.
And you and I actually talk almost every week, every time you're on, because you come on as I'm leaving, and invariably I usually have a question for you. And a lot of times I also host a show on the weekends occasionally, especially when the Phillies are not playing. And I've asked you several times to be a guest, and you've always been gracious enough to join me and answer any question I have. And the one thing that I've really, over the year of dealing with you, admire and respect is your pride in your business, in your industry as a trial lawyer, as a lawyer. You are very proud of what you do, and you work very hard, and you try to fight, because it's easy, especially with people like myself, in the media, that we sometimes jump on a bad story about a trial lawyer or about an attorney, and we run with it. And you and I were talking even before the show about how, yeah, there are a few bad characters, but you know, the thing that really, I guess, bothers you is the fact that there's just so much good that lawyers do that doesn't get the ink. And, yeah. And these are some of the things we want to talk about today.
Yeah, we're happy that that the Big Talker has such a big audience. You know, we have 700,000 listeners during the week, and if just a few of them can begin to understand that trial lawyers are really good men and women, really make a difference in people's lives, are not the villains that are portrayed by some, the Chamber of Commerce and by others, that we're really out to help consumers, help justice. I always say when the history of the 20th century is written, they're going to say that the cases that we handled, where we made infant pajamas safer, infant cribs safer, toys safer, cars safer, drug companies more responsible, doctors more responsible, all of those things came about because of trial lawyers. They didn't come about because government regulation. They came about because of us. And just slowly, people are now beginning to understand that we really aren't bad people.
You've been showing me. I mean, throughout the weeks and conversations that we have, you have shown me what you've really done a great job is making sure that I try to get all the facts. Make sure you get all the information before you start making judgments or thinking about things. We do have a guest on the line who is called in. Tom Klein is with us. So you want to talk to Tom?
Yeah.
Now? Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hey Tom, welcome to the Big Talker 1210.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, Tom. Let me just tell the listeners out there how fortunate we are to have you on the line. Tom Klein is a partner in the Philly firm of Klein and Spector, and Tom and his partner, Shane and Spector, are the one of the top two or three, if not the best, personal injury firm in Pennsylvania. And it's just an honor to have you on with us today, Tom.
Pleasure to be here.
What I would like to do, and what I, you know, following up on just what RJ and I were talking about, would you kind of just pick at random over your 30 or so year career, just a couple cases that your firm has handled that have made a difference in people's lives. Can you do that for us in fairly short order?
Sure, I'll do it in short order. I'd be happy to. There's a new book out which is entitled actually Two Boys. It's a book by Bob Zausner, published by Camino Press. Bob's a former Inquirer reporter, and he writes about two cases actually that Shannon and I both handled. One that I handled involving a youngster who hurt very badly. He lost his foot as a result of a defective SEPTA escalator. Anyone who was here in Philadelphia in 1999-2000 will remember well that trial and the trials and tribulations of SEPTA. I heard you guys say earlier about how trial lawyers can do some good, and that was a case where, at the end of the day, the chief officer of SEPTA in front of blaring TV cameras said that something good could come out of something bad. And that was the exact question that I asked him in the courtroom on cross-examination. So it was a poster child for the kind of thing we could accomplish as trial lawyers for the public good coming out of a civil case. My partner, Shannon Spector's case, and Shannon, many of your listeners might know, is just a brilliant and accomplished trial lawyer. Shannon had a case involving a youngster who is he's now unfortunately died, was horribly brain injured due to a defective Daisy BB gun. That BB gun was known to the shelves. There was no recall. And I think Shannon spent as much time afterwards as he did litigating the case trying to convince the CPSC to take the BB gun off the market and to assure that it would be safe forevermore for youngsters. So, I mean, those are two good examples. I didn't come on the show to promote the book, but the book is called Two Boys, and it's by Bob Zausner, and you can find it on Amazon.com and the like. And it serves at least as one journalist found as an example of two cases where trial lawyers work in individual cases, civil cases, promoted public safety for the larger good.
Are you seeing a shift in public perception about what trial lawyers do?
I think there is a shift. I mean, clearly we're in a different political climate now than we were. I think trial lawyers and potential victims have to be concerned not to let their guard down. In particular, for example, there's healthcare reform in the making, and there are those who oppose the civil justice system and oppose the rights of individuals to bring claims who I think have some evil planned in terms of trying to limit rights. I think there's an irony that we've spotted, and I don't take credit for the formulation I'm about to give you. I give credit to my law partner for this formulation, but there's an irony that in the GM bankruptcy and in the Chrysler bankruptcy, there was a spot on CNN just the other night showing this horribly injured child, a 10-year-old C2 quadriplegic from a defective seatbelt in one of the vehicles. And Shannon formulates it that in the bankruptcy, we have a situation where there was legislation which protected the rights of those who have warranties in vehicles, as you know, Mike. So what happens here is that literally the rights of the consumer who may have a defective cigarette lighter are put paramount to the rights of a C2 quadriplegic, because she's wiped out in the bankruptcy. But yet, if some fella has his cigarette lighter that's defective, you can still go and get it fixed by GM. And those are the kinds of things in the equation that frankly make no sense, and that our job is to constantly and vigilantly bring to the public's attention, which is one of the reasons that that your show is just so terrific and does that exact job for your listeners.
Okay, if you're just joining us, this is the Big Talker 1210 and the BigTalker1210.com. This is Legal Perspectives with attorney Mike Ferrara. I'm RJ McKay. Our guest is Tom Klein from Klein & Spector. Tom, I've got a question. As far as And I'm not a lawyer. I have no legal background. But one thing that frustrates me is how complicated it gets. And you just mentioned something how, you know, a warranty covers a lighter, but then it doesn't cover something that could cause horrific injuries. Can't we start trying to be more transparent so everyday people can have a better understanding? Or is that something where, and I could be cynical, and I don't mean to be cynical or insulting here, but is that something where we would look at it and say, well, you know, you got to keep it on a certain level so lawyers definitely understand what's happening here?
Well, these things become complicated. I mean, in the, for example, and I didn't call in to just talk about this, but in the Chrysler and GM bankruptcies, which we were talking about a moment ago, there was legislation passed that favored those people who already have cars because GM and Chrysler and the U.S. government knows that vehicles can't be sold anymore if people are going to fear losing their warranty. No one thinks they're going to be injured. And the vast perception is that someone is going to, it's someone else's problem. And it's for another day, and it's not something that you worry about. And it seems to me that there needs to be an education of the public on these matters, because it's all in the subtleties. There are laws which govern your legal rights, and oftentimes if the laws are rigged against you, or rigged, I shouldn't say rigged for you, but if they're rigged against you as a victim, someday you're going to find out that you can't sue because there's a provision which only allows you to go arbitrate your claim. That's true in security cases. And then those arbitration clauses that we sign without reading, at least when I say we, many people do. And if you try to do business, for example, with a bank or with a large corporation, you put a contract's put in front of you, and it has a waiver of liability.
Yeah, yeah. You know which ones I like, Thomas, or nursing home ones, where a 90-year-old person signs a thing that says they give up their right to sue in case they get a bed sore or get hurt.
There you go, Mike.
Yeah, we're coming up to a break here, Tom. Could you mind hanging on for a few extra minutes?
No, and when we do, remind me about banks. I want to talk about banks for a minute.
Great.
Okay. All right. We're going to be back in just a minute. We'll take a break. This is the Big Talker 1210 and the BigTalker1210.com, and you are listening to Legal Perspectives. Welcome back to the Big Talker 1210 and the BigTalker1210.com. I'm RJ McKay. This is Legal Perspectives with attorney Mike Ferrara from the Ferrara Law Firm. And Mike, we've got a guest, Tom Klein of Klein and Spector.
Spector, as Shane and Tom didn't mention that,
yeah.
That's Senator Arlen Spector's son. I mean,
okay.
I mean, it's nice to have somebody like that in your family.
It helps, and he may need some help. Tom, you looking for anybody to hire? Maybe in, end of this year?
I know the economy's bad, but I don't think, RJ, you need, I don't think you need a job. You got too much talent.
No, I wasn't talking about me. I was talking about Mr. Spector maybe being unemployed later in the year.
I don't think he's going to be unemployed.
I'm just joking here.
I think comes 2010, the citizens of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania are going to overwhelmingly elect him this time as a Democrat to the U.S. Senate for yet one more term. Arlen's a great man and has done great work for our country, if I might say so myself.
You're most certainly elected. To say that. We all have our own opinions. But Tom, before we get
if you
so
have a
far,
different opinion, I'm happy to try to convince you.
Yeah, we'll have to do that another time.
Yeah, it's going to take a long time. And you wanted to talk about banks, so let's get back to that topic.
Well, we all assign contracts with banks, and I had my own personal experience recently where I had an opportunity to actually look carefully at the contracts that I've signed. I won't bore you with with the details. And my word, they all have language. I'm talking about every bank has language in their agreements that you can only sue them for gross negligence or willful misconduct. And it's an example of the kind of language that you see in contracts, not only with banks, but with stockbrokers. Mike mentioned nursing homes. Imagine that, where you're at ski lifts, wherever you go, where you're asked to literally sign your rights away.
So, Tom, let me ask you this, Tom. Let's suppose that one of our listeners out there wants to get a MasterCard or a Visa or American Express card and tells them, you know what, I don't like this language in the contract here. Can I cross it out and will you still give me a card? What will happen in that type of situation?
They will tell you, unless they overlook it and you just cross it out and initial it, they will tell you no.
Yeah.
The banks will tell you no, and they'll tell you go to the next bank, and the next bank will tell you no.
That's nice. Let me just shift topics here for a minute to...
That has to be changed by legislation, Mike.
Well, there's you know, there are 60, maybe there's a filibuster
right.
majority in the Senate. Listen, the FDA, I know you and Shannon and myself and some others did some work on Vioxx, where Merck agreed to pay $4.8 billion to the Vioxx victims. Would you tell our listeners a little about what went wrong there at the FDA?
Sure I will, but I would only do so first by saying that Mike Ferraro, just like in this radio show, was the one person who kept our group the most informed, always out in front with knowing what was going on, what was happening, and sending up the red flags. And we thank you and congratulate you for that, Mike.
Thank you and Shana for all you did for the victims as well.
But in that case, as Mike knows, but many of the listeners and maybe RJ doesn't know, there were emails that showed just what Merck as a company thought of the FDA. Literally, the head of their science group at the highest levels of the company referring to them as, quote, grade D high schoolers. And it became a poster child of the Vioxx case for just how inept and how unregulated the pharmaceutical industry really is, and how the FDA is understaffed, undermanned and womaned and outgunned by Big Pharma.
And also, Tom, that the FDA gets a lot of their money from Big pharmaceutical companies.
A very interesting point. Actually, there's a law which actually provides that the pharmaceutical companies are the ones that that do a substantial amount of the funding of the FDA. So what you have is literally the, I don't want to use this exact analogy, but it's kind of a funny way to put it, the inmates putting up the money to run the prison.
No, I think you're right on that. I mean, and that's not the only government agency that sort of operates like that, but that's something I didn't know until recently. I read an article about the FDA. When that came out, or when I read that, I was like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, my comment, of course, which was facetious, and of course I don't think is an exact analogy, highlights though a point, which is that you have to have an independent regulatory agency which is properly staffed and properly motivated to look at pharmaceuticals and other things. I mean, the China situation and the food poisoning that came into the American food supply is just outrageous. And what we find out is that the FDA, a little known to the public, known to very few people, they have no laboratories. They do no testing.
Right.
We all think that, oh, there's a food product that was approved by the FDA. Someone in some laboratory in Bethesda, Maryland must have put it in a test tube and tested it. Not true.
Yeah.
And they rely on the results, totally rely on the results provided to them by the pharmaceutical companies. And pharmaceutical companies have a great interest, billions and billions and billions of dollars at stake, to have the results come out right. I've analogized it always to putting the pharmaceutical companies in the position as a player on the field and also handing them a striped shirt to be their own referee.
Plus, there's a revolving door from the FDA back to the pharmaceutical industry, right?
True. I think I personally think that's less of a problem than the problem of them just being outmanned, outgunned, and outmaneuvered, and the like. We see it currently. I've taken on a role in the Avandia litigation, which is a case involving a diabetes drug, which resulted in an increased risk of heart attacks and strokes akin to Vioxx, and we see many of the same things. It's a repetitive pattern. That's the problem.
All right, Tom. Then. Well, if you're joining us, just joining us right now, this is the Big Talker 1210 and the BigTalker1210.com, Legal Perspectives with attorney Mike Ferrara from the Ferrara Law Firm, and our guest is Tom Klein from Klein & Spector. Tom, we're talking about the FDA. You're pointing out the problems. What is the solution? Is it just we're going to throw more money at it, government money, so therefore that's taxes being raised? I mean, what is the solution?
Well, I think that I think we'll see changes. For starters, there was a directive by President Obama, literally signed by him as an executive order, saying that the Bush administration's policy that if a drug was declared safe by the FDA regulations, that there could be no lawsuits filed and therefore no policing through state court actions, that was reversed by a stroke of the presidential pen. So I think it starts at the top, which it did with the president, and he should be congratulated on it. The appointment of a new FDA leadership, that helps, because obviously the people who lead the agency help, and that's going to be true with other agencies.
Yeah, we're going to see that in the Consumer Product Safety Commission and the National Highway Safety Agency and, of course, the board of the SEC. You know, I think this new administration is going to be more pro-consumer versus more pro-business. You share that view?
I do, Mike. You're right on the nose. Yeah. I was actually headed there, and you beat me to it. And that's the exact point. The point is that I think that some of it is driven by underfunding, and by the past administration, there was a dismantling of the effectiveness of the agencies, not only the FDA, but the agencies that Mike mentioned and others, including the banking agencies. It was all meant to water down regulation. That's how Wall Street got in trouble.
Yep.
We have to have effective regulation, and then we have to have effective funding. So I'm, RJ, not against additional funding here. I think we should have additional funding, and then we have to attract quality people back into the government. There were people who were disillusioned and who were dispirited by the fact of 8 years of the Bush administration dismantling the agency's power to regulate. I think we'll get back on the right track, or at least a better track.
Good. We're running up against a break here, Tom. Let me thank you on behalf of all our listeners for taking time out of your Saturday to be with us. Would you give us your firm's website so if people want to find out more about you and your firm?
I'd be happy to. www.kleinspector, KLINESPECTER .com. And you'll also find the link to the Two Boys book, which I just think Bob Sausner did a great job in showing off at least two cases where we believe that we made a difference as trial lawyers.
Great. Thanks so much, and hopefully you'll come back and join us again.
I will. And Mike, thanks for your good work. You do great work.
Thanks.
All right, Tom. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay. That was Tom Klein from Klein & Spector.